And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Warrior Connection. Well, we're recently, you know, ending up here, end of March, and getting towards April. Maybe the weather will start changing. And again, Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, getting information for you so that you can act and improve the life and the quality of life of all the veterans. Denise, are you with us tonight? Okay, Denise is going to be calling in, hopefully, and we're going to be talking about some new House bills. Something else that's come up and very, very important here is Dr. Beatrice Golem and University of San Diego out there. She's been doing incredible research. And what she has now proven is the fact that we have mitochondrial dysfunction in our cells. And the mitochondria is basic cellular function. And everybody knows we've had poor nutrition, we've had poor perfusion. And as a consequence, we've had all of these significant medical problems they see we engulf for illness. Well, now we got the markers confirmed. And, quote, the classic presentation for mitochondrial illness involves multiple symptoms spanning many domains, similar to what we see in Gulf War illness. These classically include fatigue, cognitive and other brain-related challenges, muscle problems, exercise intolerance, and neurological and gastrointestinal problems are also common. Well, thanks to Dr. Golem, again, she's come out with this stuff, and she did an extensive study, and she's found all this stuff. Denise, are you with us yet?
I am. I'm right here, Doug, and I do want to thank Dr. Golem. There's been a lot of feedback on the study. It's been carried in every scientific paper online, and a lot of vets don't understand, since we're not scientists, how high-level research this was. They talk about just having seven Gulf War vets in it. But when you put it with a comparison group of normal controls, this is a very highly scientific paper, and, you know, not just looking at the Gulf War vets, but matching them with another individual that's a normal individual. This is high scientific work. That's why the scientific community is paying it all the attention it can right now with the reports on this research paper.
People need to understand, when we get down to cellular function, the mitochondria is basically the engine house of the cell.
Right.
And when we don't have adequate perfusion, which that means is the cell is unable to use the oxygen that the heart provides, the lungs that the heart provide, it's unable to remove the carbon dioxide from the cell, and then at the same time we're seeing all of the nutrition problems come into it. I mean, this is an incredibly, incredibly important marker, isn't it?
It is. It is just high-level research. This is the research that we've needed for years. And hopefully the VA will wake up and pay attention. We want to move on, I think, to our bill, don't we, Doug?
Absolutely. But the bill, I mean, Beatrice has been involved in this, and this bill is trying to sustain the research that Beatrice has been doing.
Right.
So, I mean, this is tied together.
Yeah, first of all, I want to put a word out. We have to go through the funding process up on the Hill every year to keep this good research coming through the Congressionally Directed Medical Research Program. Yes, it's through the DOD, but it's a kind of very specialized congressionally directed, okay? The congressman asked for this type of research. We have a Gulf War illness research program that's been going on since we got the funding back in 2006. And we were battling with $5 to $10 million a year. That doesn't fund a whole lot of research, and you know that, Doug.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I mean, all the years you and I spent at the university, the amount of money that's taken off the top for administrative stuff out of research bills is incredibly
high.
That's
the way it is. We can't fight how things are set up, but we can fight for the right research, and that's what is being done through this program that's funded every year. Let me tell people how this gets started. In the beginning, it was Representative Kachinik and Representative Sanders, who is now Senator Sanders, who wrote a letter requesting funding for a Gulf War illness research program at the DOD Congressionally Directed Medical Research. We got it set up. We have peer review teams that include Gulf War vets. We have an integrative panel that makes sure that there's no stress-related study. This is zeroing in on the real problem. Now, last year we got 20 million, despite the sequestration, despite everything else. So we are getting attention. But it's a yearly battle to get that funding. And right now, we have until Tuesday at noon to get more representatives signed on with Representative Michaud, who has sent out a letter to every representative to sign on to keep this funding going for the Gulf War Illness Research Program at CDMRP. How can individuals help? You get on the phone Monday and Tuesday morning early, because the deadline's at noon for them to sign on, and call your U.S. rep, ask for the legislative director or the veteran staffer in D.C. offices. Ask them. They have the letter from Representative Michaud. They ask for those representatives to sign on. That letter then goes to the Appropriations Committee. That is how we've been getting funding year after year. I have dedicated weeks on this, okay, that I sit on the phone and I call the representatives. And, you know, focus on this letter. We need you to sign on. Right now, Michaud's staff is amazing. They've got an intern and on their staff working to get reps signed on. But we can do our part by calling them tomorrow. Call your U.S. rep in D.C., tell them about the Michaud letter. They've got it in their hands. Ask them to sign on to it and get back to Congressman Michaud. Each year we do this. It's unsung heroes like Anthony Hardy, myself, that spend hours on the phone calling these offices. But everybody can do their part by calling their own U.S. rep up in D.C. Once we get it done through the House, we have to go do the same thing through the Senate. And Senator Sanders has been the one to initiate the letter over there. So when that letter comes out, we try to let everybody know to call their senators. First step is the House. We have to keep this funding. This is where this hard research that is being done, like Golam, she had two sources, one the CDMRP and another foundation helped. That is the hardcore research going on that the VA never would do. I was up there year in and year out with the RAC meetings where the VA showed the studies they were doing. Most of them were stress-related. It didn't get down to the hard science of proving the fact that we have damage. This research is not only showing the techniques that are used to find that damage, working on biomarkers with the blood, with the cytokines damaged, to treatment. We have treatment trials coming up. We have one right now at North Carolina with Dr. Meggs. He's using a low dose of naltrexone that some people have been on if they have MS. I've been on it now for a while. It seems to help to some degree. May not be the only answer, but, you know, we've had the CoQ10. We're having a low-dose naltrexone being used. We have to prove this through research that it's effective before we go to a large-scale test on any of these. $20 million doesn't get you far, and they try to fund as many of the researchers as we can to get this hard research done. So, you know, people criticize small numbers. Well, we had a large cell one on microplasma and antibiotic use, and it didn't prove out according to the VA, and they yelled and screamed about the misuse of that money. So what we targeted was smaller scale that are very good science to be done, and hopefully then fund the larger scale after the small scales prove the point to Congress and to the VA and to whoever else. Now, what's happened at the VA over the last 2 years, with their interference with the Research Advisory Committee, is just completely out of line. This is not helpful to the veterans. Not helpful at all. And so we had to go get what we call kind of an amendment to our original bill that got the Research Advisory Committee set up. Removing it, except for the funding from the VA, but that the RAC will be restructured, and the fact that the Senate and House VA will appoint the membership. We have Dr. Rowe, a congressman that is a doctor who is very interested in this. We could end up with a congressman on this research advisory committee, but we would have three members approved from the House, majority and minority and the VA committee, the Senate, VA would have theirs, and then VA would still have three people, okay? So this is needed because of what VA did to Iraq that was against the intent of the original law. So this is the bill that we wanted to talk about. Doug, do you want to start talking about it?
Yeah, I think what we'll look at, again, this is House Bill 4261, Gulf War Health Research Reform Act of 2014. Again, Mr. Kaufman, Mrs. Kirkpatrick, don't confuse Kirkpatrick with our nemesis, Kilpatrick, okay? Totally different. I mean, Mr. Michaud, as Denise has already mentioned, who's doing incredible, incredible work. And again, this bill, to improve the research of Gulf War Illness, the Research Advisory Committee on Gulf War Veterans' Illnesses and Other Purposes, okay? This act may be cited as Gulf War Health Research Reform Act of 2014. Again, improvements to Research Advisory Committee on Gulf War Illness, independence of the committee. This is the critical, critical issue. To make this an independent committee separate from VA control. Unfortunately, what we have learned and what is in the bill and all the testimony so far that's been given, and especially by Jim Binns, who's been the chair of the RAC forever, an incredible individual, is that interference and deliberate denies and denials and everything else, I mean, lies and deceit and fraud has just been going on beyond comprehension. The purpose, again, this thing, the committee, quote, the committee established under paragraph shall be an independent advisory committee which shall provide advice and counsel to congressional veterans committees and to the secretary of the Department of Veteran Affairs. B, in carrying out the functions, powers, and duties of the committee shall be independent of the secretary of Veterans Affairs. That means Shinseki has no control over it. The committee shall exert independent control of the budget allocations, staffing levels and expenditures, personal decisions and processes, procurements, and other administrative and management functions of the committee. The administration and management of the committee shall be the subject to the usual and customary federal audit processes. Duties. Here's where it comes into it. Denise, you've been working on this. Jim Binns is pushing it. Quote, the committee shall provide to Congress, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, and the heads of other departments and agencies of federal government that conduct research on illness in Gulf War veterans advice with respect to proposed research studies, research plans, and research strategies relating to health consequences of military service in Southwest Asia, theater of operations during the Gulf War. This is so critical, as we've talked about, and as our team, Bowers Raiders, Denise, you worked like mad to get Bowers Raiders to the Dallas Conference, and that was shut down by
the VA and NCWRC. Okay, I want to mention right now, this is a new bill, was introduced by Kaufman about 2 weeks ago. We had a hearing on it. I think the hearing tapes are still on the House Veterans Affairs Committee website of where Mr. Binns testified, and AMVETS also testified for our bill. And we have four co-sponsors so far, which include, of course, the co-sponsors are Kirkpatrick, Ann, out of Arizona, Michaud, out of Maine, Representative Stivers, Steve Stivers, out of Ohio, Representative O'Rourke out of Texas. So we only have four co-sponsors. And so besides calling the Hill about funding for CDMRP, which is a deadline on Tuesday noon, we need to be calling all next week and until next week and until we get this bill done for representatives to co-sponsor this bill. This is how you get legislation moving. You build that co-sponsor list by effort of phone calls, letters, faxes, emails, visits on the Hill. You get out there and you work it, and you get each of your representatives to sign on. When I was up there learning the process, I learned to make a bill moved and to, you know, even get around a committee if you have to. You hit for two-thirds of the members of the House of Representatives. And, you know, if you have problems with the committee, we're not having problems with the VA committee. So hopefully we won't have to have two-thirds. But this is how you show that you have support on the Hill and that you want this bill moving. We're also working to find a Senate sponsor so we can have a mirror bill in the Senate so that if you work the bill concurrently in the House and Senate, it gets done faster. So let's go on and talk about the bill.
Okay.
Go back to that, Doug.
Okay, we continue on here. Again, we've just talked about the duties. The committee may not conduct scientific research, review research proposals submitted to the Secretary of Veterans Affairs prior to funding. Makes sense. Secretary shall appoint 3 members from the committee who have appropriate scientific expertise to the committee designated to review such research proposals related to illness and Gulf War veterans. Now, you sat on other individuals. David sat on review committees before looking at research, haven't you?
Exactly.
The guiding principle for the committee shall be the premise that the fundamental goal of Gulf War health-related research, either basic or applied, conducted by the federal government, is to ultimately improve the health of Gulf War veterans, and the choice and success of research efforts shall be judged accordingly. The committee shall assess the overall effectiveness of such research conducted by federal government to answer central questions on the nature, causes, and treatments for health consequences of military service in Southwest Asia theater of operations during the Gulf War. Well, I know our Bowers Raider has been yelling about this from day one. We started yelling about this in the fall of 1990, continued through 1991. We've continued on without any hesitation. Denise, you and many others joined on the bandwagon even before any of us, the Bowers Raiders, met you, the theater command staff met you.
Okay. Can I read some of Jim Binns's testimony?
Absolutely. I think that's important. Jim Binns's testimony. Please read the whole thing.
Okay. It may take a while, but we'll plug through it. Chairman Kaufman, Ranking Member Kirkpatrick, and members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to testify in support of H.R. 4261.
Go slow, Denise, so everybody gets a chance to understand everything.
The Gulf War Health Research Reform Act of 2014. Since Congress created the Research Advisory Committee on Gulf War Veterans Illness in Public Law 105-368, members of the Research Advisory Committee have testified at 10 congressional hearings. This is the last time a member of the committee will freely testify to Congress without VA censorship, unless this bill becomes law. The title of the 1997 congressional report, which led to the creation of the committee, was Gulf War Veterans Illness. VA DOD continues to resist strong evidence linking toxic causes to chronic health effects. 16 years later, that still says it all. VA, DOD continue to resist strong evidence linking toxic causes to chronic health effects. The only difference is that science now knows for certain that Gulf War illness is a physical disease that is associated with service in the war, that it affects an estimated 250,000 U.S. veterans, that it cannot be explained away by any psychiatric illness, and that it likely results from environmental exposures. I'm not quoting the Research Advisory Committee. Those are the conclusions of the Institute of Medicine's landmark 2010 report. Our committee agrees, but goes further to name the exposures: protostigmine bromide pills, pesticide, oil well fires, multiple vaccination, low-level nerve agents released in the destruction of Iraq facilities. The Institute of Medicine report also tells us that effective treatment, cures, and its hope prevention can likely be found with the right research, and calls for a renewed research effort to achieve those goals. Next month, the Research Advisory Committee, that will be on 28th and 29th of April, people, will release a 5-year report that shows science is making progress. Research is beginning to identify probable underlying mechanisms, promising treatment, and biomarkers. Just as science is turning the corner, however, career VA and DOD staff has pushed back in an attempt to reassert discredited fictions from the 1990s that the same thing happens after every war due to psychiatric factors. Because there's not a shred of scientific evidence to support this position, they have resorted to manipulating research studies and reports to provide apparent support. In its recent survey of Gulf War veterans, the VA Office of Public Health included the questions necessary to identify PTS, but not Gulf War illness. In the journal Military Medicine, the head of the three VA war-related illness and injury study centers wrote that chronic multi-symptom illness has been documented after armed conflict since the Civil War. That's a biopsychosocial approach to the illness will most benefit the patient, quote. In a briefing to an Institute of Medicine committee studying treatments for chronic multi-symptom illness in Gulf War veterans, the director of the VA Post-Deployment Integrated Care Initiative stated it's unknown whether the illness is physical or psychiatric. This list goes on. VA's standard talking point is that it does not support the notion some have put forward that these health symptoms arise as a result of post-traumatic disorder or other mental health issues. But the some who are putting forward this notion are VA staff. These actions threaten to mislead science down blind alleys once again, just as has happened for most of the past 23 years. The Research Advisory Committee has been charged since its inception with the responsibility to assess the effectiveness of government research. We complimented early progress under Secretary Shinseki, but when the tide turned and staff launched its campaign to revive 1990s fiction, the committee reported in detail to the Secretary in June 2012. And in testimony to this subcommittee in March 2013, we asked the Secretary to investigate these actions and to remove those responsible from position of authority over Gulf War research. Instead, VA removed us. In May 2013, I was notified that the committee charter had been changed to eliminate its charge to assess the effectiveness of government research. And that the membership of the committee would be entirely replaced over the next year. New blood is certainly desirable, but two of the three scientists subsequently proposed for membership by VA were stress advocates. One has edited a textbook on stress and is a member of the American Psychosomatic Society. The other published an editorial last year which stated that presupposing a primary supplementary or synergistic role for stress in the Gulf War syndrome provides a framework for valid scientific analysis. It's apparent that VA intends to use the Research Advisory Committee itself in its campaign to resurrect these discredited themes. VA has sought to backtrack on its appointments, pulling these names and appointing others that I and other current members supported. I've heard that VA may be preparing to name its next round of members to reassure skeptics that it's not going to back the committee, but that's now where their actions are under scrutiny. They've shown where they intended to go once that scrutiny is gone. It's apparent that VA intends to use the committee itself for these discredited themes. VA has attempted to explain the charter changes as routine, necessary to comply with the Federal Advisory Committee Act, or that the committee's work constituted improper oversight. But virtually identical language has been part of all previous five charters signed by four VA secretaries, including Secretary Shinseki in 2010. All recognize that an inherent part of advising on future research is to assess the effectiveness of the research already being done. The clear purpose of the charter change was to stop the committee from reporting further on VA staff efforts to mislead research, and that is exactly the effect it is having. Attached to my testimony is the draft section on VA's research program, which had to be removed from the report testimony that the committee would release this next month. In the future, VA secretaries and congressional committees will not have the benefit of this information. In addition, VA has recently stated that committee members may not release reports and recommendations without written VA approval. Not even the pretense that the committee is independent remains. I urge you read this section not only to appreciate in more detail the dangerous campaign now underway, but also to see that it's a balanced assessment, giving credit where credit is due. Let me take a moment here. this section not being included is a review of VA research that cannot be included by dictation from the VA secretary. Similarly, the legislation before you, H.R. 4261, is a balanced approach to the problems I've discussed. It gives back to the Research Advisory Committee the responsibilities that were taken away last year. It provides for the independent operation of the committee within VA, but not subject to VA authority. It provides for 9 of the 12 members to be appointed by the chairs and ranking members of the House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, and 3 members by the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. These provisions are based on the bipartisan model of the Advisory Committee on Student Financial Assistance, which has operated successfully within the Department of Education for over 20 years. The bill also reasserts other appropriate congressional authority. VA has routinely disregarded laws passed by Congress related to Gulf War research. In some cases, studies ordered by Congress have not been done at all, such as the studies ordered by Congress in 2008 of the prevalence of multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, brain cancer, and other central nervous system abnormalities in Gulf War veterans and in veterans of post-9/11 operations. Other studies ordered by Congress have been changed by VA to produce results VA desired rather than what Congress ordered. When Congress ordered VA to contract with the IOM for a review of best treatments by a panel of doctors who treat Gulf War veterans, VA contracted for a literature review by a panel with no Gulf War expertise. The panel was overweighted with specialists in psychosomatic medicine, and the report largely reviewed psychiatric treatments. When Congress ordered VA to contract with the IOM to review the health effects of toxic substances to which troops were exposed in the war, Congress specified multiple times that the review should consider animal as well as human studies. Yet the resulting IOM reviews has excluded animal studies from consideration in their conclusions. Since most studies of toxic substances are necessarily done in animals for ethical reasons, IOM reviews consistently find insufficient evidence that a substance caused health effects. The same standard is now being applied to mislead conclusions regarding the health effects of toxic exposures to veterans of the recent wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The bill requires VA to specify that animal studies will be considered as previously ordered by Congress in future IOM studies of toxic substance to which veterans were exposed. The bill also states that since of Congress that Gulf War studies previously ordered by Congress be conducted or reconducted in accordance with Congress's prior direction, and that IOM committee studying in Gulf War health include 3 members of the Research Advisory Committee. The bill further provides that it's the sense of Congress that VA should conduct an immediate follow-up to its national survey of Gulf War veterans to include the questions necessary to identify Gulf War illness. A complete analysis of the bill provision is attached in another appendix. This bill is essential to maintaining the hope that research progress will continue, but restoring the committee only gets us back to where we were, advancing science in one area while staff pulls it back somewhere else. That is what has happened for the past 23 years. If the IOM is correct, as I believe it is, that effective treatments can likely be found with the right research, then Gulf War veterans would likely have effective treatments today were it not for staff obstruction. Instead, hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent in the name of Gulf War health with little to show for it until recently. Gulf War veterans who become ill serving their country consider this history a betrayal with good reason. Having spent most of my working life in medical technology business, I also have never understood its logic. If the concern is to save money, developing treatments for ill veterans is far more cost-effective than paying benefits and health care for the rest of their lives as their conditions further deteriorate. Similarly, it makes no sense to sabotage this research while current and future American forces remain at risk of similar exposures, as recent events in Syria have emphasized. As a Vietnam veteran and former Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, I understand that chemical defense based on preventative and immediate measures will not be effective in the terrorist settings that American troops and civilians are most likely to face. It is critical that the tragic experience of Gulf War vets be used to develop medical countermeasures for long-term low-dose exposures. In summary, this research should continue with every encouragement for excellent reasons. But unless the obstacle of VA and DOD staff obstruction is removed once and for all, science, candidly, may never reach its goal. This is not easy science. Expecting the research community to find the answers while it's being misled by bogus studies and reports is unrealistic. VA leadership has decided to shoot the messenger instead. I urge Congress to go beyond this bill to pursue the rigorous investigation necessary to end this shameless history and clear the way to success. To continue this flawed process as it has gone these many years is a cruel hoax on our Gulf War veterans and the men and women in uniform today who expect their government will protect them.
Jim Benz put it perfectly, Denise, hasn't he?
Oh, he is the most amazing person. He has given so much to this. He's now served as committee chair, working day in and day out, you know, with researchers feed in, with the staff feed in that they had, much less going up to the Hill and working the issue in a non-paid position, people. He goes there because his heart and soul is for making the help available for Gulf War veterans. And we need, when you call about the funding, ask about co-sponsorship on this bill. We need people, all people, on the phones, calling their U.S. rep and D.C. office. You call the D.C. office when there's bill or funding issue, okay? You don't call their local office. And you ask. You get past the receptionist. You ask for the legislative director or the veteran staffer, okay? You have to be positive in getting past the receptionist to get to talk to the people that are actually putting it on the table for the congressman. That's their staff. So we need those calls being made. We've got to reverse the VA takeover and their efforts to destroy what happened with our VA Research Advisory Committee.
Now, the bill, the copy of the bill and all the testimony will be up on the archives for Warrior Connection within the next 48 hours, ladies and gentlemen, or so. So you definitely can get it up there. We'll try and get it up there tonight, and hopefully they can put it in and get it posted. It's extremely important. The other thing, too, what I would suggest, yes, Warrior Connection and Denise and myself, God bless Gary Knoll and his staff there have been getting this out. They've done documentary after documentary. You can go to GaryKnoll.com and get the documentaries they've done on this and get all the information out. The other thing that I would also suggest is, yes, we're talking about a Warrior Connection. You need to call every talk show in the nation, local radio stations, anybody that can get on. Talk about it. Present the bill. Say what the problem is. Quote Jim Benz's testimony, as Denise has just read verbatim, and get this taken care of. I mean, we're looking at, by my count, I know on my own primary team, the DU team and the team I was under in Desert Storm, which so many claim that we didn't do, there were 424 that President Clinton's staff, and again this came out of Kilpatrick and Brenda Rosker, identified on my team that needed medical care. And as you know, even in the latest VA report that got Colonel John Gingrich fired, they came down and said nobody was sick from DU and only four people and everybody, which is ridiculous because they never did the testing, never did the medical care, and yet we see it all over. The same thing with the pesticides. The whole thing is they've come down over and over again. It was never any single one thing. What we knew from day one, and this is in the fall of 1990, and we taught as part of the Medical Management Chemical and Biological Ashes course for 3rd MedCom, and I was one of the instructors. Again, we had an incredible team. Denise, you've met most of the team. Incredible people, weren't they?
Right.
And now too many are dead. Andres is dead. Jim Runge is dead. All these guys are dead. So we don't have those guys around with us anymore to give all the information they knew from day one. Andres Carnegie Bot identified the respiratory and all of the sand contaminants in day one. And now the IOM is even coming back and going, well, yeah, it is that. Well, hey, Andres was right from day one, and they've ignored it. So we're seeing all this stuff. What had happened while we were in theater back in December of 1990 and January of 1991, the decision was made at 3rd MedCom, and there were certain individuals involved, and they had come on down the directive from Lieutenant General Ron Block. In other words, ignore, deny, lie, cheat, steal to get away from it. Andres and Ron had a big falling out because they were in-laws, as Denise knows. And Denise, you've heard the story a million times. When we were down at the Center for Disease Control, Andres got up and told the truth in full uniform as the Army colonel, as the Army doctor that went on the oil well fires about what they found. Remember that?
Yep.
And Kilpatrick and Rotsker and Cherry and Datsun went bonkers and ballistic because they didn't want the information out. So that conference we did in, what, February, March of 1999 laid it all out. You and I fought like mad. Andres fought like mad. Kilpatrick was going nuts. I mean, they wanted our team to come back and work for them. Remember, they asked you in the elevator to get Bowers Raiders to come back to work for them, didn't
well,
they?
Well, specifically you. let me say it further. I'm looking at one of the appendices with Jim Benz's testimony. And I want to point this out real clearly because he's pointed it out over and over in hearings. But Agent Orange, they included animal studies. Gulf War came along, they dismantled that being included for the Gulf War vets. So Vietnam vets, you've been through this before. Took you 30 years to get your Agent Orange bill through the first time, and then periodically you get presumptions added. Look to your younger, it may have been your son serving in Gulf War that may be affected. We have a lot of them that were not ill, that have since developed really devastating illnesses. It's up to all of us, no matter what era or war, to support other veterans, no matter what war. And for them not to have included in the IOM studies, the animal studies that have been done, that money has been spent on, and not to include it to review what is happening to the Gulf War veterans is just, I don't even know the word to use anymore, Doug.
I'm not sure. Well, it goes back to Agent Orange because right in front of me, what I'm looking at right now is the May 5th, 1990 report, quote, report to the Secretary of the Department of Veteran Affairs on the association between adverse health effects and exposure to Agent Orange. That was prepared and written by Admiral Elmo Zumwalt. Now, Niece, you and I both know Elmo. You and I went head-to-head with him at the IOM. I remember that.
Yeah.
A real interesting day. But that report is still hidden from all the Vietnam veterans. And we've got all the spray guys that were on the birds, the spray birds, are still fighting for their VA medical care for Agent Orange exposure as we talk. And in this report from 1990, which is still hidden from the veterans, still hidden from physicians of care, it identifies all of the health effects, acknowledges everything. And not only that, it states very clearly that just like with Gulf War illness and what Jim Benz has testified and Denise just read, is there was deliberate and willful fraud on the part of the VA to deny association and prevent treatment, even though it could all be figured out from day one. So we're seeing the subterfuge all over the place. And I guess, you know, God bless Gary Noll for allowing us to do this without any hesitation. God bless him for doing all the documentaries. I mean, we need to come out. You need to, if you haven't seen it, very important, go to GaryNoll.com, get the documentaries on Gulf War illness that Gary has done. He did the research. He got all the research. He talked to the experts. He got them all, got it all the data. Incredible work. Another one, Joyce Riley in Beyond Treason. If you haven't got a copy of Beyond Treason or haven't watched it, there's two parts. The DVD in there with all the experts talking and describing it, and then the CD with all the documentation verifying everything that has been said, so not a question. And Gary Noll did the same thing. All of the research, all the documentation is totally available. But what we have seen over and over again, and this, I mean, it burns my craw because I'm just, Denise and I know, and Denise was helpful in this, Another one of my members of my original Desert Storm team that helped me bury the tanks, and the guys have seen the famed photo where we got the Abrams tank hanging above us on the 88s. And one of the guys that contacted us is real sick and needing help. It was his 88, and they claimed that he was never there. And yet, well, there he is in the, you know, the photo, and all the stuff proves it. So we've got a deliberate act, and the numbers are staggering because the number that we had wounded in action during Desert Storm was less than 1,000, total 1,000 casualties. But now by the, I guess, what was it, 2008 was the last time we had a Griffiths report from the VA, and at that time it was way over 300,000 that applied for disability from the VA. So that was in 2008. That's how many years ago now, 6 years ago. We know more members of our team. We know members of our team have died. We found out the other day from my team member who's in the photograph that people we didn't know were sick are sick, right, Denise?
Right.
So this never ends. It's ongoing. And now we have 1.5 million casualties from Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom. We got thousands upon thousands sick from Somalia. And I'm going to come back to it again. We've posted this. We did use depleted uranium in Somalia. As a consequence, October of 1993, there was a medical order issued from the Pentagon directing medical care for all DU exposures. That's still applicable.
Okay,
that came on top of the August of 1993 order for medical care, training, and environmental remediation signed by General Eric Shinseki personally.
Okay, let me point out another thing in this law. Public Law 110-389, Section 804, required that the VA contract with the ION to conduct a comprehensive epidemiological study to identify the instance of prevalence of diagnosed neurological diseases, including multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, brain cancers, as well as central nervous system abnormalities that were difficult to precisely diagnose. In the 1991 Gulf War Vets and post-9/11 Global Operations Veterans and in non-deployed comparison group. VA has never contracted for this study. At the Research Advisory Committee on Gulf War Illness meeting on January 7, 2014, the head of the VA Office of Public Health, Dr. Victoria Davies, acknowledged that VA has not ordered the study. Okay? She stated that the IOM has told VA that conducting the study is not feasible. None of the committee scientists agree with this statement. It could possibly be argued that it would be difficult to study the prevalence of central nervous system abnormalities that are difficult to diagnose, but determining the prevalence of MS, Parkinson's, and brain cancer is straightforward epidemiology. Dr. Davies also stated that VA had covered the same ground elsewhere, referring to a multiple sclerosis study by Dr. Michael Whalen. However, while the study is entitled the Gulf War Era Multiple Sclerosis Cohort, it actually covers veterans from 1990 to 2007 and provides data only on the incidence of MS by race, sex, and service for that entire period. Nothing on the prevalence among those who served in Gulf War are among those who served in post-9/11 operations compared to their non-deployed counterparts. Dr. Davies confirmed that VA has done no study of the prevalence of Parkinson's disease or brain cancer in Gulf War or post-9/11 operation veterans. Really devastating. This was mandated in a previous law. VA has not done it.
Now, I think it's also important for us to recognize right now that Diane Zumato, the AMVETS National Legislative Director, also testified, again, basically saying the same thing that Jim Benz said, and support for this, you know, again, for the AMVETS National Headquarters in Lanham, Maryland. So, again, they're behind it. We need to get all of the veterans organizations. We've got the AMVETS testifying already in favor of the bill. We need to get the American Legion, the VFW, the DAV. We need every one of them out there, all of the veterans organizations. We need every congressman to come on to be a co-sponsor of this. We need the Senate to get a companion bill for this and every U.S. senator to come on. We keep hearing all over the place, and again, it was said just here yesterday on the local news, that thanks for our service and we'll support you, and we hear that the VA is going to take care of you. But when it comes down to push to shove, as we all know and we talked about on this show, Gary Null has totally verified in his documentaries, Joyce Riley and Beyond Treason, all of the other documentaries we've done for the BBC, History Channel, Dateline, Nightline, the BBC. I mean, it's all there, isn't it, Denise?
It's all there, and we've had a very dedicated group, and I have to hand it to Paul Sullivan and Anthony Hardy. They've never given up. They keep going back to the hill, as I do. But those two, with Mr. Benz and members of the RAC, have stood up for the Gulf War vets, worked with Congress to fashion legislation to stop what the VA is doing and to correct it now. We're 24 years after the war now. We've lost a lot of Gulf War vets, be it from brain cancers, ALS, undiagnosed illness, be it from suicide. I mean, when they feel that there's no hope and that things are not happening right, people give up. And it's a shame, because I've always put my faith in medical research and science to guide the way. And people like Dr. Galam, Dr. Klimas, Dr. Baranek at Georgetown University, Dr. Roberta White, Dr. Leah Steele,
Dr. Bob Peter, Haley,
Dr. Peter O'Callaghan, Dr. Haley, these people have gone above and beyond to support Gulf War vets when the VA has terribly betrayed us, terribly. I mean, it makes me wonder why any of us served in the military, why we would encourage our offspring to serve, or why we should recruit other civilians. We pledged our life. We put our life forward. And we went through war. And it's just like abandoning our Gold Star parents. The Gold Star parents are ones that their member is killed in action. Blue Star is for those that are wounded and ill. But they, you know, the ones that are not grossly injured in war, losing an arm, leg, amputations, you know, the traumatic brain from impact, they get recognized. Those of us that suffer, be it Vietnam vets, for years after the consequences of exposures, do not get recognized. Their family members, when they lose their member to Gulf War illness, are not recognized. They are not taken care of.
You know, you and I have been up to the wall so many times, and I remember the first time I went to the wall right after it was open. I went up with another University of Illinois friend of mine. We went out there for a medical conference. I mean, never ends going. We've been doing this stuff for years and years and years, trying to straighten out the problems on environmental exposures. We did this, you know, after Desert Storm. And every time, it never ceases to amaze me, that wall, the impact it has on me, because you and I both have friends and family that are on the wall, you know, and all this other stuff. Every time we've been up there working around the hill and wall, I remember one time we did Veterans Day or Memorial Day, we were up there, and all the veterans were standing there. Well, maybe we need to have a march in the White House, you know, to get everything started and get everything turned back around. And that was years ago, and now Jim Benz has testified that the same thing is happening, but the whole thing is what we've seen over and over again. Shoot the messenger, shoot the messenger, shoot the messenger, to avoid people hearing the message, to avoid any accountability, to avoid anybody looking at the regulations, looking at the medical directives, looking at the internal documents that nobody wants seen or heard, because the casualties are staggering. When you look at from Vietnam, 50,000, 60,000 died from wounded in action. The numbers that have died from Agent Orange and all toxic exposures from hazardous materials and the water contamination is staggering. The PTSD effect, which is a function of realizing all of it was lies, it's not a neuropsychological and mental problem, it's a crisis in ethics and morality, is staggering. And then Desert Storm, We had less than 1,000 casualties during most of it, as I've talked about before. And Denise, you treated them. Most of the casualties we had, both wounded in action and killed in action during Desert Storm, were friendly fire from DU munitions. You got cross-contaminated, Denise, from treating the casualties, both the U.S. and Iraqi. And I did, too. We all this stuff happened. And then we came on down with all of the other stuff. And now we're looking at way over 100, maybe 200,000 Desert Storm vets have died already. We're looking at 300,000 that are having medical problems. We're looking at a million and a half from OIF, OEF with the same toxic exposures. And yet we see the senior leadership in the VA and the Department of Defense denying and lying and cheating and avoiding stuff. And then somebody comes out like they did here in the local Channel 3 News yesterday. They had a home garden show. The VA was there, and one of the guys, Doug Childs, was quoted saying, "We'll take care of it. Everybody will take care of everybody." But he's not even telling his own staff about the internal directives confirming the health effects and directing medical care. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, Doug, you and I have been around a long time, and like I said, I've used so many words to describe what the VA has done. Malfeasance, I can't find the word now to tell people how they have betrayed veterans. They have betrayed us, betrayed the honor of our service. And it's got to stop. And people, if you're a citizen, if you have a member of your family that ever served, you should stand up and make a call. Make that call that I'm asking you to do to the House of Representatives in your district, in D.C. office, and ask to speak to their staffer for Veterans Affairs or their legislative director. Get them to sign on with Representative Michaud's letter to fund the CDMRP again for this year's work. You know, it's for the future year, but, you know, for the next funding cycle. And ask them to co-sponsor this Gulf War Veteran Reform Act for their Research Advisory Committee. That's 4261, House Bill 4261. Is that correct, Doug?
Yeah, we'll post this up on the website here for sure.
But, I mean, that's what's needed, is people communicating with D.C., with their representatives, and the D.C. office. Call them. Please, people, we need this Research Advisory Committee to truly operate as it was originally supposed to, and that VA has interfered. This is kind of like an amendment to make that happen. It's a separate law, but it's built on our original law, and it changes it so that VA cannot take away the independence of the Research Advisory Committee, cannot dictate. It makes it balanced between, you know, the House and Senate VA, majority and minority, Republicans and Democrats, and the VA has some that they can put on, too. Yeah. But, you know, it's got to be a balanced situation, and we cannot have whoever is involved at the VA that has done this.
You know, the other thing, too, and it's extremely important, the toxic exposures, we have that here at the Clos Chenute Air Force Base in Rantoul, Illinois, with trichloroethylene, all the toxic volatile hydrocarbons and all this stuff. You have it for confirmed. We talked about it on last week's radio show in Hawaii, on the main island of Hawaii and on Oahu. We have it down in Vieques. We have it at Fort McClellan in Alabama, which is a toxic wasteland from the chemical school. We have it at the McClellan Air Force Base in California with the nuclear testing. All over the place where the Department of Defense has been conducting operations via toxic wasteland.
Right.
And the health and environmental effects have been staggering, and they continue to be staggering. And it's not just the military, it's the civilians that are horribly affected, as in Vieques, and the civilians in Hawaii that are horribly affected. Here in Jefferson County, southeast of Indianapolis, Crab Orchard, southern Illinois, it's all over. And then we look at the incredible numbers of non-combatants and civilians around the installations that are affected, coming south out of Chenute Air Force Base towards Thomasboro along the creek and the stream. They remove the houses from the flatbook so they don't show up, but the wells are contaminated. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
This is going on and on.
We have 6 minutes left, I think, or five.
About 5 minutes, yeah.
I just want to say that if this government will not take care of its veterans, then it goes really downhill from there, affecting civilians. It affects the spouses, the children. I mean, this is our time to stand up, people, to stand up and make a difference. And if we can't do it, we go for our veterans. We're never going to accomplish it on anything else either. You know, so I don't know what else to say except that we need every American standing up. And I will say this for overseas comrades, our peers in the overseas that served with us in Gulf War and OIF and OEF, they can't get anything done if the U.S. is not doing the right thing. They follow suit with the U.S. So it's multiplied numbers-wise, not just U.S. soldiers and veterans, but our coalition forces. And people, this is devastating. It is time to stand up for your veterans. If you don't stand up for them, I don't think you'll get very far with civilians being affected from contaminated bases in the area. We have to start somewhere.
I mean, Jim Benz has put it perfectly, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't get any closer than what he said. He has said exactly what is happening. And he was the man put in charge of the Research Advisory Committee in order to find the answers. And he started finding the answers. And as he's testified, General Shinseki and the VA leadership and the Department of Defense leadership has shut it down. This is about economics and dollars and telling the truth in America. Why should anybody go in the military today if they know they're going to be abandoned? Every mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife, grandparent, uncle, aunt, niece, nephew needs to be screaming at the top of your lungs in order to ensure accountability right now and get everybody taken care of. And to say, well, we thank you for your service, but we're not going to take care of you, it's got to end. Wow, I don't feel good. The weather changes and everybody with Gulf War illness, as we all know, when the weather changes, we get sick. And it's got to end. We need the care and the treatment. Gary Knoll, thank you. God bless America. We need to get done. Ladies and gentlemen, speak up. Make the phone calls. Call your congressman. Call every talk show in the nation. We'll get this posted up there as soon as we can so you have all of the information. Denise, any last word?
No, thank you, Doug. Thank you over and over again, and Gary Knowles for doing all he has. But it takes many, many people to make this government listen.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and good evening.